It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
All right, 10:04 on The Fan, and a very good Monday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here till 1 o'clock, Maggie and Bart will come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses, of course. Only at ShopRite. The woeful NFL season continues in New York. Both teams with very unceremonious losses. And we'll start with the team that Evan and I root for because they did something yesterday. The Jets, they made history yesterday, the Jets, as only they can. As they became the first team in the history of the NFL, now 100 years old, just think about this, the first team in the history of the NFL to lose to two winless teams that's at minimum had started the year 0-7 or worse. And they have done it now twice. The Miami Dolphins, who were 0-7, the Cincinnati Bengals, who were 0-11, and they were dominated yesterday in this game like they were playing the Patriots. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Cincinnati dominated this football game. And I have seen this game, bro, you know it, a zillion times. I got a text from Ira. Ira says to me, yeah, this might be the most embarrassing loss ever. What? There's 100 of them. What do you mean? The most embarrassing loss ever. There's been 100, probably more. You know, I forgot most of them. There's been so damn many. What's new? This is typical Jets. They didn't show up. I don't want to hear that they weren't flat. You saw it on the first drive of the game, first play of the game. Le'Veon drops a pass. They look like they have a short touchdown to Robbie Anderson. First of all, Donald underthrows him, and then Robbie drops the ball. Should have caught it anyway. Then Barrios, Braxton Barrios, he had his one moment last week against the Raiders. What does he do? Big third down play, drops the pass. They have to settle for a field goal. You should have known right then. But here's what I knew, bro. Here's what I knew the game was over. I knew it was, I wasn't quite sure yet, but I knew at this point.
When was this?
They're up 3-0. They get the ball back. They give it to our buddy Ty Montgomery. He rushes for 8 yards on first down. Okay, second and two. How about running the ball again? This is the worst run defense in the league. They've given up 170 yards on the ground the game. So what is the brilliant head coach do? Okay, the king of offense. You know, the guy that's basically invented offensive football. What does he do? Second and two. No, we can't run. I don't run the ball. I throw it. Throws it to Montgomery. No gain. Third down sack. Game was over. I knew right then they were not winning this football game. I should have shut the TV off right then. I remember telling my wife, I said, Tara, not only will they lose this game, I swear, you could ask her. This is like, you know, at that point, not only are they going to lose this game, they're not going to score a touchdown in this game.
It was obvious. Did you nail they weren't even going to get the football in the red zone?
No.
Did you get that?
Well, they did a couple times, except that Tom Compton and what's his name? The great Kelvin Beachum, who everybody was praising. The media was praising him like he was Anthony Munoz during the week. Well, he had a great game. You know, two penalties that absolutely destroyed them. It was more than two, but two that just negated big plays. That one play, by the one with... Well, I guess it was it Beachum or Compton first? Who was the one with the pass to Bilal? And then the one where 3rd and 14, and I'm screaming on his play, 3rd and 14. Okay, let's run now. Le'Veon runs for 23 freaking yards. But wait a minute. There's a holding penalty.
Coming back, yeah.
There's a holding penalty. Of course. Of course. Unbelievable.
Well, this is what they did so well. They did everything wrong to lose this football game.
Everything they could.
And I give you credit because... After the tie run, and of course, Adam Gase gave you the sign of things to come by getting away from the run. Dunlap had his first sack as he nailed Sam Darnold. I wasn't yet at the point that they were going to lose. But it was soon after when things started to turn. Jamal Adams had great coverage against Boyd in the end zone.
Yep.
But then the Bengals converted on a third down, and then Auden Tate made this great catch.
By the way, it seemed like they converted about a million third downs.
Oh, all day.
And when I saw the number, I think it was only 5 for 13.
Yeah, wasn't it? Well, because they also dropped easy third down
like that
conversions.
Touchdown. How about the touchdown?
The tight end Uzama dropped it, which would have been an easy touchdown. Yep. So they got a break there. But after the Tate great catch, the boy touchdown on a perfect throw by Andy Dalton, here was the tiny thing that jumped out at me to really cause concern. The hold on the Montgomery return. And holds on returns are bad enough, not because they're wiping out big returns, but they push you back to the 7 freaking yard line.
Where the Jets basically started every drive yesterday.
Well, that was where it began.
I think every drive they started yesterday was inside the 10-yard line. At least it seemed that way.
And that's where it began. Yes, because when you go pushed out, 3 and out, when you start on your own 7, capped off by one of the many sacks we saw in this game, felt like the number was a lot higher than 4, the Bengals are set up at midfield.
Every time.
And the Bengals don't have to go that far to kick a field goal, and all of a sudden, it's a 10-3 football game, and you're playing from behind the entire day with an offense that betrayed the quarterback. The head coach betrayed the quarterback.
Oh, my God.
The garbage offensive line betrayed the quarterback. And the receivers who had drop after drop after drop betrayed the quarterback.
Yep, yep.
I'm not trying to tell you Sam Darnold was perfect in this game.
No.
He wasn't great. But the guys around him killed him.
Yep.
You have a head coach who is supposed to be an offensive guru, who I think over the last 3 weeks, maybe people forgot how overrated this head coach actually is. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you thought, oh, wow, maybe he knows what he's doing. Yeah, maybe this guy's actually not half bad. And yet, not only do they not run the football enough against a run defense that's terrible, every run was straight up the middle.
The strength of
the Bengals' lousy defense.
Yep.
And then, to make matters worse, after the game, I'm thinking, well, maybe this brilliant Einstein of NFL offenses, maybe he's going to give me a good answer. Maybe he's going to actually give me an answer.
This is good. This is a funny.
That's actually not a bad answer. He actually tells the people that are watching, they actually want to hear from this head coach, well, this is what the game was dictating.
Really?
What? You dictate the game.
Of course he did.
You are the guy that can dictate whatever you want. Nothing about this game dictated you to get away from the run, and then when you actually run the football, go straight up the middle.
Yep.
Nothing dictated that.
Nothing.
And so what yesterday was not just a reminder of who this franchise is, which we get that reminder every year. It was a reminder of who this head coach is. And I know, just like you know, just like everybody knows, that we're going to deal with this guy for another year. He's going to be back next year.
Yep.
But get used to this.
Yep.
Because this is who he is. He hates running the football.
Yep, he doesn't want to run it at
Miami.
All. Yep.
Didn't want Bell on this team.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Bell's not even on this team.
Yep.
Don't worry about it, Adam. He's not on this team. You basically didn't give him the football yesterday.
Unbelievable.
No, it was awful.
Awful. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And you know what? I'll know that we finally have something when they don't lose games like this anymore. Because I don't know if there's been a coach in their history, and that includes Rex, that includes Parcells, that includes every one of them who's ever been, Weeb Eubank, Walt Michaels, it doesn't matter. There has not been a coach in the history of this franchise that has not lost a game like we saw yesterday. When you think they got something going, 3 wins in a row, they're playing well, they're putting big numbers on the board offensively, and then they play the worst team in the league, a team that had not won a freaking game, and they made them look like the Patriots. How many times have you seen the Jets do that? Over and over and over and over again. And I'll know that there's something different when that changes. But it never changes, bro. Like, I mean, every time. Ever, right? This was a lock. This was a lock. As we got into, the closer we got to this game, the more I knew in my head, it is a lock they're going to lose this game.
Well,
I swear to God, I mean, all week I could. I'm trying to wrap around myself as I'm watching. Just to say this, and I'll let you go. I'm watching all the football this weekend. It was funny. Thanksgiving. I watched a little Friday. I watched the Iowa-Nebraska game, which actually was a pretty good game. You know, it was really the only game worth watching. And then I watched the game Saturday. I watched Michigan, obviously, get destroyed by Ohio State. I watched a lot of Minnesota, but I talk about a bad coach, this P.J. Fleck, he's terrible. But that's another, we'll get to that, maybe, if you care about college football. A little bit of Auburn, Alabama. Watching all these games, okay? And then we got to Sunday morning, and I wake up and I said, you know what? Now I got to watch the Jet game. And I don't feel good about this game today.
I mean, the closer we got, the more I was feeling that they're not going to win.
And
today.
You felt good the previous week.
I said this last week. I felt better about the Raider game than this game. And by the way, the Raiders look good yesterday.
Well, yes.
Oh, my God.
How bad have they been the last 2 weeks?
Oh, my God.
Look how much they've been outscored by.
What's the number now? 74-12.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Not good. Not good. And Coach Gruden, you can't blame the overturn of non-pass interference in the end zone.
No, it was already 24-0.
Cats out of the barn there, Coach.
How about the call Gruden made? Just let me jump to this game for a second because it was the only game left to watch. You know, I mean, I was watching the red zone, but the Ram game was a blowout.
Right.
At least, you know, I do watch. And how about the way San Diego was?
Very Charger-like. And call him San Diego. It's fine.
Of course I am.
Good.
But the one shot that Raiders had, I think they were down 7-0. They got a 4th-and-1. Okay, I forget where they were. They were maybe the 30-yard line or 35-yard line or so of the Chiefs. 4th-and-1. Now, they got this Josh Jacobs, okay? The guy's like one of the best running backs in the league. So on this 4th-and-1 play, you see Jacobs run off the field. I'm like, what? You're taking this guy off the field. And then the brilliant Gruden says, okay, let's try a reverse to some guy, Davis, who gets stopped. Loses a yard on the play. He takes Jacobs off the field. If you're a Raider fan, you got to be screaming about this. Hey, you're going to lose anyway, but still. Takes Jacobs off the field and runs a reverse on 4th-and-1, and they get stopped, and that was the game. The game was done at that point.
Yeah. Ran a reverse to wide receiver.
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
To Trevor Davis, the wide receiver.
God.
Got nothing out of it.
What is that? I said, why was it? Gase making his call?
It felt that way.
Oh, my God.
That was brutal. But you know what? That's their problem.
Of course.
That's their problem.
But I had to throw that in there because
look, everything that happens week to week in the NFL makes you question everything you've witnessed this entire season.
Oh, it's so true.
So
it's so true.
When we wake up this morning, congratulations, Giant fans. You root for the worst team in the NFL.
You're right.
Like, you're number one now. The Bengals now are not, after they actually look like a competent football team against the Jets.
But still got a worse record than the Giants, but even so.
Record withstanding,
yes,
sure.
Right.
The Redskins all of a sudden won again.
Yep.
The Dolphins won again.
The Redskins ran for like 200 and something yards. Darius Geis. Who looked good in that Jet game. When the Jets beat him up, Geis actually had some nice plays.
Sure.
Well, he tore it up yesterday along with Adrian Peterson.
Oh, no doubt. So all of a sudden, you wake up this morning, the Giants are the worst team in the NFL.
Yep.
But going into yesterday, the Jets were playing the worst team in the NFL.
Yep.
And I don't want to hear about Andy Dalton, who was fine in this game.
They didn't get near him.
But you know what? That's not why they lost. They didn't lose squarely because Andy Dalton made this perfect pass to Tyler Boyd for the first touchdown. They didn't lose because they couldn't touch him. They couldn't sniff him. They couldn't put any pressure on him. They lost because the New York Jets, who recently were putting up points, scored 6 points against the Cincinnati Bengals. They lost because they committed 10 freaking penalties for 106 yards, including that brutal hold on Compton that wiped away Le'Veon Bell's biggest play of the year.
And you know what was even worse about that play? They waited like 5 minutes to throw the flag.
Well,
I mean, how long after that play did you see the flag come out? I'm like, what?
Joe, I never saw the flag come out. That play, that moment, there's been a lot of bad moments for the Jets over this season. That moment when all of a sudden Spiro Ditas is informing us that a flag was thrown
was
actually my worst moment of the year as a Jets fan.
Go ahead. And I like Spiro. I know him a long time.
Blame him.
Remember I mentioned about years ago that when I saw Don Crickey was doing a Jet game, I knew they were dead?
Yes.
Well, that's the new one with Spiro. Because also did the Dolphin game.
I know, he said that. He reminded us.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. So now he is taking over the Don Crickey mantle.
Yes.
That when I see Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta, okay, how this guy's doing it, I don't know. Okay? Adam Archuleta. Okay, great. When I see those guys, done.
The host.
If they do the Miami game this week, I'm telling you right now, bet the house on the Dolphins. And you see the line in that game?
Yeah, the Jets are favored by a touchdown.
7.5.
That's going to change.
How is that possible?
That's going to change.
Did they watch these games yesterday?
And the Jets are on this unprecedented losing streak of losing outright as a favorite. They have lost four consecutive games outright.
Bro.
As a favorite, first time since the Pete Carroll era.
I would love to know what their all-time record is as a road favorite. I bet you there's 70 games under 500.
Probably.
Road favorite.
If they've played that many games as a road favorite.
Right.
But that Tom Compton hole. cold, who I never want to see him again. Just get rid of everybody on this offensive line. That's what Joe Douglas needs to do. Yep. Get rid of everybody.
No,
Kelvin Beach. Oh, please. When Beacham plays, they're effective.
He was Anthony Munoz. Yeah. Oh, my God. Come on. He was Art Shell.
Yeah.
Please.
Gotta love that hold in the end zone.
Roosevelt Brown. He was the greatest offensive lineman ever.
Tremendous.
Come on.
Fantastic. But that Compton hold, I had no idea. They never even showed us a flag being thrown. All of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell gets that big run, here we go. Jets have set up Bengal territory.
Yep.
Remember, Bullock had just missed a field goal.
Right. Yep.
It's a game. It's a game, man. It's 17-6. Yep. Here we go. And I got to see that flag come out. And now it's 3rd and 24.
Unbelievable.
Well, look.
And it makes it worse because it's 3rd and 14. And they're running, and I'm screaming when he gives the ball to Bell. Now you're running on 3rd and 14. And he runs his best run of the year.
Best run.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
And Joe, let's not forget, how did it get to 3rd and 14? It got to 3rd and 14 because on the previous 3rd and 9.
He had back-to-back penalties.
Yeah, he was called for a false start.
Yep.
So they were pushed back because of this guy.
Yep.
And then Le'Veon gets his jet moment, which sadly is a freaking 23-yard run, and it gets called back.
Yep.
But that was it. That's what they did. That's what they did so effectively in this game. They committed brutal penalties. Yep. Their receivers had too many drops.
Oh, my God.
Sam wasn't perfect. I'm not trying to say he was, but he wasn't helped out. His offensive line in pass protection was awful, and the head coach had his head up his own derriere.
He did.
And there's your formula. That's why they lost. I'm not trying to excuse the defense in the first half. They let the Bengals march down the field. They converted on too many third downs, and they got lucky Uzama dropped that touchdown pass.
They did. Very lucky.
But in the second half of this game, the defense was fine. Jamal Adams is playing on one freaking leg.
Yep.
And it was all about the offense. They scored. Let it sink in.
Yep.
6 points against the Bengals.
Unreal.
A team that can't stop the run. The Jets said, we'll run the ball 17 times.
Right.
It was a joke. And it was. You know, it's typical. It's what you have said. It's what I've grown up learning. It's what you've experienced your whole life. It's just typical.
This is what they do. This is what this woebegone franchise is all about. They get you a little excited. You're really pumped up, 3 in a row. Huh? Maybe we got something going. Like you said, maybe the coach, and even I said it, maybe the coach got something going with the quarterback. And then here we go. Same old, same old. Same old Jets. And it's I hate to say it, but it's so true. And this is this franchise. It never freaking changes. And
now,
I don't see where it's going to change.
No, because Gase is going to be here next year.
Of course.
Now, here is the good news, Jet fans, if you want any piece of good news.
And what might that be?
You're not the worst football team in this town.
No, that is true.
Because what the Giants were able to do yesterday, even though they lost to a playoff team, no question about it. Packers are certainly on another
level
than the Bengals.
With the game played at Lambeau East.
Yes.
Between the weather and the fans.
Oh, my God. You're right about that. The snow on the ground, the cheese heads all over the place.
Oh, my God.
John Mara, and I guess it was his birthday the other day.
Happy birthday,
John. He should have been embarrassed walking out of that stadium.
Happy birthday.
And I have no idea, I don't know, what this head coach could possibly say to this owner. Forget what he says to me and you. Forget what he says to the media. Forget what he says to the Giant fans. That's bad enough. What could he possibly say to this proud owner that he should come back next year?
He's gone.
He's got to be.
He's gone.
He
cannot bring this guy back. He's terrible. He's a terrible head coach.